Welcome to the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast, a 90-day journey for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. I am a critical care registered nurse with a background in youth ministry and window cleaning. That last one has nothing to do with the theme of this podcast, but I did it for 13 years, so if you know anyone who needs their windows cleaned, please don't call me, because I don't do that anymore. Instead, I'm inviting you on a 90-day journey of physical, mental, and spiritual health through the Christian practices of prayer, spiritual reading, meditation, and gratitude. I'm also going to encourage you to exercise at least 3 times per week. In the end, our goal is 3 hours of spiritual devotion and 3 hours of physical exercise per week. And because I believe faith was not meant to be done alone, I invite you to find and engage in a local church community. So please, follow this podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and join me on a 90-day journey for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Today is day 90 of our 90 Days with Nurse Dan journey. This is also our final 30-day challenge bonus episode for those of you who may have missed an exercise this month. And like I've said this entire time, our goal is to exercise 12 times every 30 days for a total of 36 times every 90 days. And this is further broken down into 3 times per week into what I call the 30-20-10. That's 30 minutes of zone 2 cardio, 20 minutes of strength training, and 10 minutes of balance training that can be divided into a 5-minute warm-up and a 5-minute cool-down. And at the end of today's episode, I'm going to go over some of the health hack highlights from the last 90 days to highlight the things that have been beneficial in my pursuit of physical and mental health and spiritual health as well. But first, we're going to dedicate our 20 minutes of spiritual reading today to finishing through the Gospel of John. So as always, the bulk of our time today will be spent doing the actual practices of prayer, spiritual reading, and gratitude. So let's get started with our 5 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of Bible reading, an additional 10 minutes of Bible reading, and 5 minutes of gratitude. As always, we'll be praying the Lord's Prayer, the Serenity Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed, and I've placed links to each of these prayers in the show notes. So let's get started with the Lord's Prayer. This will be coming out tomorrow morning, which is Thursday, and so it'll be a Trespasser Thursday. So when we get to that part of the Lord's Prayer where we are either sinners, debtors, or trespassers, we're going to be trespassers today, and we'll say trespasses. So let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, now let's go ahead and we're going to head up north to Canada, clicking on the Celebrate Recovery Canada link for the Serenity Prayer, and let's pray the Serenity Prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living each day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy with you in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Okay. Well, now that we've prayed the Lord's Prayer and the Serenity Prayer, let's go ahead and finish off our time of spoken prayer with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Okay. Well, now that we've finished our time of spoken prayer, we're going to head into our 2 minutes of focused meditative breathing, doing what Sean Aker recommends everybody do every day. Take 2 minutes of deep breathing. It helps to relax you and it increases your happiness levels. And so we're going to take one of two postures, either with hands behind the head or clasped behind the back to force belly breathing. This helps to relax you and relieve panic. Or in the willing hands position, where you extend your hands out in front of you into a receiving position, elbows bent, palms up, like you're getting ready to catch a football for a kickoff. And this can kind of help pull you out of your anger. So go ahead and take a deep breath in and exhale. Inhale. 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 Exhale. Big inhale and exhale. Okay, good job. Well, that finishes our 5 minutes of prayer. We're now going to head into our 20 minutes of Bible reading today, where we're going to finish off the Gospel of John today, starting in Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 1. And I'm opening up my YouVersion Bible app here. I'm going to go to the old King James Version that we've been using this whole time. And let's hear some really high quality King James Version Bible here. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where there was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have spoken unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, and said, I am not. One of his servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered him and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it on him in a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man! When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except if it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called Pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away, and bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and others with him, two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Then said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith is true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scriptures should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there he came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths, with the spices as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And I'm just going to interject a little thing here. I was listening to N.T. Wright sharing about the historicity of the resurrection and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And apparently there was a guy who was an unbeliever, a smart guy, historian, and it was this little detail that convinced him of the truth of the resurrection. And the reason for that is this, that in ancient writings like this, they didn't do this sort of thing. You know, now we have novels and they have all these different little details that they put into it. But back then, something as simple as this, where they say the other disciple came to the sepulcher, so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And it's so funny to me because it's like a little bit of kind of a sort of just bragging over Peter, like, dude, you're slow. I was quicker. And for the record, I'm just going to add this little detail into here. And so this N.T. Wright was saying that this guy was convinced to become a Christian by this detail. And I imagine there was a lot more that goes into it than that. But he was realizing that the only reason that this detail was there is because it happened. And so, all right, back to chapter 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, she showed unto them his hands and his side. He showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And that's us, guys. That's us. Verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have eternal life through his name. Chapter 21, the final chapter. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciple knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto them, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And I'm going to add a little thing in here, just a couple of details. First of all, just like Simon Peter denied Jesus three times, and he probably felt like a piece of garbage after all that. And Jesus comes to him, and he gives him not once, not twice, but three opportunities to say, I love you. And so this is just this symmetry here. You've got this three times of denial, and then you got these three times of saying, I love you. But then the other thing in there is I love that the King James Version is a literal word for word translation, because you see here that Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. Now, lambs are little sheep, they're baby sheep. And that just goes to show you that Jesus loves the little children of the world, just like the old Sunday school song goes, Jesus loves the little children of the world. And Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter would focus not just on the sheep, not just on the grown sheep, but on the lambs as well, and to love the next generation. Because, here we are. If they hadn't have done that, we wouldn't be here today. You can't just focus on the old. You've got to focus on the young and invest into the children. And so, all right, let's go ahead and finish this off here, starting in verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciples whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said unto him, He shall. Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he will tarry till I come, what is it? What is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there also are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they were written to every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. All right, we did it. We went through the gospel. We finished Genesis, and we read through the Gospel of John. We read through Practicing the Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. We read through On the Incarnation by Saint Athanasius. And we read through parts of Fox's Book of Martyrs, made it through about 38 pages of that, and learned about how the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And so we're just following in the footsteps of Jesus. And one little detail I want to point out about the Gospel of John. So tradition is that throughout the Gospel of John, there's just this little line, the disciple whom Jesus loved. We see that they didn't even use his name in this. And so at the end there, he says, and this is the disciple which testifies of these things, who wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And so he's talking about himself, and that's John. And I remember hearing a pastor one time talk about this, that imagine that you knew so deep in your bones, in your heart, in your gut, in your whole being, that Jesus loved you, that it transformed you in such a way that you didn't identify as anything else except the person that Jesus loved. I mean, he was so enraptured with the love of Jesus that it overtook his identity. Be careful about the I am statements that you make, whether you say I'm dumb, or I'm crazy, or I'm fat, or I'm ugly, or even I'm smart, I'm brilliant, I'm happy, I'm sad. Like, when we say an I am statement, that's okay to say I'm happy, or I'm sad, or all these things, but just know that what's coming out of your mouth is an identity statement. And what we can learn from the Gospel of John is that when John would refer to himself, he would say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that became the core of his identity. And I believe that the Gospel of John invites us into the same relationship with Christ that John entered into, where we can become the disciples whom Jesus loved. And so, I invite you into that. If you're not already in a relationship with Christ, just know that he lives today. The Bible here tells us that he rose from the dead, and we know from saying the Apostles' Creed that he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And so we have an opportunity. The Bible says that he's given us a day, and that day is called today. So don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. And so every day is a day that we can surrender ourselves to the Lord. And it is not, it's a sacrifice, but it's not. It's the casting of seed into the ground so that it can grow and it can produce much fruit. And when we think about there's a parable that's not in John, but it's in the Gospel of Luke, and it's the parable of the prodigal son. And we find in the parable of the prodigal son that he demands for his inheritance from his father while his father is still living, which in that Jewish culture at that time would have been the equivalent of saying, "I wish you were dead." And so his father obliges him. He ends up giving him, sadly, his share of the estate. He sells it, takes the money, and then swindles it on alcohol, prostitutes, and wild living. And eventually he's broke, penniless, and he finds himself having to work for a farmer who has a pigsty, and he finds himself feeding the pigs. And of course, to the Jewish listeners of this story at the time, that would have been like the lowest of the low, because pigs were considered unclean. And so here he is, he's feeding the pigs, and then he's so poor and he's so down in the dumps that he's so hungry. And he says, "Man, I think what these pigs are eating, it looks appetizing." So now he's eating the slop that the pigs have eaten. And in other words, that's called rock bottom, folks. That is the bottom of the barrel there. And in the middle of this moment, he realizes, man, even my father's servants have it better than this. I'm going to go home and I'm going to repent. I'm going to say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Just hire me on as a hired hand." And so he's rehearsing this little speech and he gets home. But the Bible says that while he was still a far way off, that the father saw him and he picked up his robe and he ran to the son, which would have been an undignified thing for a father to do in the first century. And yet he did it anyways. He lifted up his robe, he ran to his son, and even before the son had the opportunity to say, "My father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you," the Bible says that he's embraced by the father, and the father says, "Kill the fatted calf, get a robe, put it on him, get a ring, put it on his finger, for the son of mine was dead and now he's alive, and let's have a party." And so he embraces him back in, not as a servant, but as a son. And the Bible says, though, before the prodigal son had turned to return back to the home, it said he came to himself. And I think that line is so important because a lot of times when we think about giving our lives to Jesus, we're afraid that he's going to turn us into something else. And we always think we need to be true to ourselves and we want to be ourselves. We don't want to be turned into something that we're not. But the reality is that he's the maker. He is your maker. He's my maker. And nobody can help you reach your full potential to live into the fullness of who you were created to be than your maker. And so the Bible says that when the prodigal son was not himself when he was out living this crazy life, even though he was doing what he wanted to do in the moment, all he was doing was he was a slave to his momentary whims. But the moment that he truly came to himself was the moment that he realized that he was truly at home with the Father, that he needed to go back home to the Father. And so when God calls a man, he doesn't call him to be something else. He calls him to himself. When God calls a woman, he doesn't call her to become something else. He calls her to herself. So if that's you today and you're realizing that you are like the prodigal son and you're far from God, don't worry about your little speech that you're rehearsing. God doesn't need to hear it anyways. All that matters is that you turn and head back towards home. And when you do that, the moment that you turn, that's what repentance means. It's to turn away. It's to make that 180 turn from sin and head back in the other direction towards the Father. And he's going to pull up his gown. He's going to run towards you and he's going to embrace you as his son. And the reason he's able to do that is because of that sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross that we just read about, that was done 2,000 years ago today, and that offer of forgiveness and sonship and daughtership in the kingdom of God is still on offer today. So let's go ahead. And I just want to close with a word of prayer here, and then we'll lead into our time of gratitude. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Gospel of John. We thank you for that disciple whom Jesus loved, who wrote down those things so that we might believe. And God, we believe. We believe because of that testimony, just like we believe that there are things in history books that are there because we trust the people who wrote them, or we believe certain things in science because we trust the authority and the credibility of the people who have written them, or we trust the things that people say about health and fitness, whether it's Dr. Peter Attia or Dr. Andrew Huberman or, whoever, God, just all these people we trust because we find them credible. And that's the same reason that we trust the Gospels. We find their witness to be credible, and we find that the word that they're sharing resonates with our spirit and that it is true. And so, Lord, would you draw us to yourself? Jesus said that no one comes into the Father lest he is drawn. And so, would you draw us to yourself so that we might be saved? In the name of Jesus, amen. And now for our three things that we're thankful for today and why, and the three things about the most meaningful experience of our day. Number one, I'm going to say I'm thankful for the RSS.com site that I've been able to upload all these podcasts to because it was user-friendly and it allowed me to upload this podcast to multiple podcast outlets like Apple and Spotify, without having to go to a bunch of different sites. And number two, I'm thankful for those of you who've listened to this podcast and hopefully found some encouragement and inspiration over the last 90 days. And number three, I'm thankful for my family because as I look back on the last 90 days, I realized that many of the things that I shared that I was thankful for were my family, whether it was my wife or kids, or my parents, or so I'm just very grateful for my family. And now the three things about the most meaningful experience of my day. First is this moment right here. Second is finishing this 90-day challenge. And number three is not quitting. So that's going to lead me into our health hack here, which is I'm going to encourage you, as always, to get your 30 minutes of zone two cardio, 20 minutes of strength training, and 10 minutes of balance training with a 5-minute warm-up, 5-minute cool down. And just a real quick recap of hacks that I've found beneficial over the last several years that I've included in this 90-day challenge. Number one, intermittent fasting. It's not magic. As I've shared with that Dr. Peter, he had talked about, it's a matter of caloric restriction. So if you were to eat 3,000 calories in one meal a day, you probably still wouldn't lose weight unless you're working out so much that you're burning more than 3,000 calories a day. But the point is, it's not magic. But what it does is it sets up boundaries around your eating. So if you're someone who's more prone to late night snacking or getting up early and having a second breakfast, like the hobbits did in The Lord of the Rings, it puts some boundaries around it. It gives you that at least 12-hour window of time where your body can clear the excess circulating insulin and blood glucose and bring you back into a place, a fasted state, which is beneficial for your large vessels and your small blood vessels. The other thing too is finding that, finding the why, as we learned about from listening to Dr. Viktor Frankl, the survivor of Auschwitz, who almost died when he was going through went during World War II in the concentration camps, and yet he came out of it and he said that a man with a why can overcome any how. And so we want to make sure that we're discovering why am I doing what I'm doing, and that's going to help propel you forward no matter what obstacles you face. The next is getting your sleep. I've had to adjust my sleep habits. I still don't have the best sleep habits, but they're a heck of a lot better than they used to be, and I can tell a difference. So make sure that you're focusing on getting your sleep. Another one is getting your protein. Now, Dr. Peter Attia, Dr. Andrew Huberman, they talk about getting a pound of, I'm sorry, a gram of protein for every pound of body weight. I find that very difficult. I'm not going to argue with them. They know much more than I do. But I've also listened to Dr. Mark Hyman, who has said, at least in the past, to get 1.6 grams of protein per 1 kilogram of body weight. Now, there's 2.2 pounds for every kilogram of body weight, which means that if you take your body weight in pounds divided by 2.2, you're going to take that number and multiply it by 1.6. And for me, that gets me to about 123 grams of protein a day, which I think is a achievable goal if you get about 30 to 40 grams of protein each meal and then have a couple light snacks. Next. Stay active, keep moving, live generously, and balance your nutrition. So, you want to make sure that you are getting the essential amino acids and you're giving yourself the essential fatty acids and that you're taking a good once a day multivitamin along with some vitamin D, some turmeric. I talked about that in an episode. Turmeric helped my joints, my heart palpitation after having COVID and the COVID vaccine. Celebrating mile markers, that's another important thing. You got to make sure that you celebrate along the way your achievements because that's sort of thing that gives you that positive reinforcement, that little dopamine kick that gets you going back again and again. It helps you to enjoy this thing. Being smarter than the average bear, that was in the second month that we were doing. That has to do with the fact that the food industry has hijacked our dopamine system by adding these addictive things into the food that gets us to crave sweets year round and eat almost like we're a bear getting ready to hibernate for the winter. But winter never comes, and so we have to be smarter than the food industry that has hijacked our physiology. Another health hack is get a dog. That studies show that dog owners are happier. They're more social. They're more well-adjusted than people who don't have a dog. And so there you go. That's my little plug for dogs. And I'm thankful for our little dog Muffin and my dog Buster when I was growing up and our dog Maggie. Like these dogs were a great part of my childhood. And it's great having a dog. So get a dog. Testosterone. We learned that doing strength training before you do your cardio helps to increase testosterone levels. We also learned that testosterone is produced at night when we're sleeping, so you want to make sure that you're getting adequate sleep. We also learned that excess body fat produces estrogen and it converts testosterone into estrogen. And so by losing excess body fat, we're also going to increase our testosterone levels. And that, I don't know if you knew this, but women actually have more testosterone than estrogen. So it does matter for women too. It's just we don't think of it that way because men have so much more testosterone than women. So that's something that men and women alike need to be considering. And okay, good doctor, bad doctor. So making sure that if you've got a primary care physician, that you've got one that's actually challenging you to make healthy choices and not just wanting to throw pills. Although I'm not anti-pills, I take a pill, and I take supplements, but I do believe you want to try making lifestyle modifications first. And so you want to have a doctor who's going to encourage you and how to do that. We talked about how exercise is not natural, that actually part of our adaption from our that we inherited from our ancestors is that we want to rest and relax and expend as little energy as possible because you never know when you're going to get chased by a bear. And yet we don't live in a world where we're worried about getting chased by bears. So we do a lot more sitting and a lot more resting than our ancestors did. And so we have to be way intentional about adding activity into our lives. Don't park at the front of the parking lot. Park at the back so you take some extra steps. Don't take the elevator, take the stairs. It's being intentional about this kind of stuff because we're not going to get that extra exercise if we're not intentional. Staying hydrated. That's so important. So first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I drink 20 ounces of water and I wait 90 minutes before I drink my coffee. It's a diuretic. And also you want to let your cortisol spike in the morning. And so you don't want to precede that with caffeine. So drinking your water, staying hydrated, building consistency and discipline into your routine. This is from the Atomic Habits. It's having a system that works, that we, it's not about necessarily striving to be the best at any one thing, but focusing on the incremental growth on a daily basis. If you're 1% better each day, by the end of that year, you're 365% better than you were at the beginning of the year. And so having a system in place that allows you to incrementally grow in whatever areas that you're trying to improve upon, whether that's, building muscle or improving your sleep habits or, building increasing your 5K time or increasing the distance that you're able to run or the amount of weight that you're able to lift, et cetera. I talked about bone broth and how drinking chicken stock and beef stock helped to heal the bursitis in my knees, that inflammation, and how it helped my joint pain. And last but not least, I just want to leave us again with that word from my patient that I had the other day, where she just looked at me and she said, "I miss working." And then she said, "Take care of your body. It's all you've got." And again, I pushed back a little on that because I do believe that we are more than just a body. We are body, mind, and spirit. But we want to make sure that we're taking care of that body because God loves the body. Remember, Christianity has always taught of a bodily resurrection. And that doesn't mean that, if you die in bad shape, that you're going to have to live with that out of shape body for the rest of your life. I certainly hope not, because then it'd be better to die in your 20s than it would be to die in your 80s. The Bible says that we're going to have a heavenly body. At the same time, we know that everything that God made, when we look back in Genesis, everything that God made, he said, it is good. And that includes you. That includes your body. That includes your mind. That includes your spirit. God loves you. He made you, and he wants you to live a fulfilled and fruitful life. And so let me pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And I wasn't planning on doing this, but I can't go through our final episode without giving one more podcast recommendation. And it's going to be that I just listened to a very inspirational interview between Dr. Jordan Peterson and Tim Tebow, who's the famous football player from the University of Florida, who is one of the greatest college football players of all time, had one of the greatest college careers of all time. His professional career, it had some ups and downs. It had its moments, but he wasn't as great of a professional player as he was a college player. However, he has used his fame and his influence to go on and start a philanthropic organization that helps to bring the gospel and humanitarian aid to the poor and the impoverished throughout the world. Really, I was just talking to a nurse yesterday who had spent some time in Haiti, and the organization that she was working with in Haiti that helped to bring education to Haitian children who are in slavery. She taught me something new. She said that Haiti is one of only two nations in the entire world that is considered a fourth world nation. I didn't even know that fourth world nations existed. You can't fly there. You have to get there by boat or ship. And they still allow child slavery there, which is just so tragic. And so she said what this organization that she went there with, that was supported by Tim Tebow and his nonprofit, is they help to educate these children who are enslaved so that they can develop education and skills and be able to work themselves out of slavery. And in other words, he's been able to do some really great things with his life and with his platform, even since leaving the NFL. And this interview was so good. And the story that I think stood out to me the most was he talked about that he grew up in the Philippines as the son of a missionary and pastor, and his parents were missionaries to the Philippines. But when he was 5 years old, they moved back to the United States. And that's when he started taking up team sports. He started with baseball at the age of five. And when he was 15 years old, he got to go back on a mission trip to the Philippines. And when he was there, he met this little boy whose feet were born backwards and he couldn't walk. And he said that the people in the village had hidden him away and they didn't even want the Americans to see them because they were ashamed of him. And he was viewed as being cursed within the village because his feet were born backward. And but a couple of this young boy's friends led Tim Tebow to this young man. And when he was there, the young man asked him to carry him. And so then Tim Tebow picks him up and physically carries him outside of his hut and walks him through the village. And he said how shocked and dismayed the villagers were because in their worldview, you wouldn't want to touch someone like that. It'd almost be like in India, the untouchables, that you just didn't associate with that. Or if you go to the time of Jesus, the lepers were the outcasts. They were the ones who were sent outside of the walls of the city to be alone. And yet we see that Jesus touched the lepers. In other words, Jesus loves the outcasts. He loved those who the world has forgotten. And Tim Tebow says that when he met this young man, he realized in that moment that he could use his strength to serve the weak and the vulnerable. You know, there's a famous quote, and originally I thought that it was attributed to Sir Edmund Burke, but I've seen that I guess that's debatable. Either way, the quote is fantastic. It's the only thing it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And so I'm a firm believer that we can either use our strength to be predators or protectors and providers. And so I encourage all of us to use our strength, whether you're a man or a woman. You know, I think about that idea of protection. That is such a feminine thing because think about mama bears. I mentioned bears several times in this episode. I don't know why bears, maybe it's because they're big and powerful, but you want to see a mom get angry? Try hurting her kids, and you're going to see that mama bear come out. And you should see the same thing in the father as well, that this idea that we have been given whatever strength we have to protect, to provide, to take care of. And so I hope that that's something that you take away from this whole series is that if we're building strength, if we're focusing on our body and building strength, if we're focusing on our mind and building a strong mind and a strong spirit, that we do it not so that we can lord it over others, but so that we can serve others, just like Jesus, who when he said, you know, the leaders of this world, they lord it over those who are weak, but not so with you. And he got down on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. And I love that verse where Peter says, Lord, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus says, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. And then Peter goes to this opposite extreme and he goes, well, then fine. Then don't just wash my feet, wash my head and my body as well. And Jesus is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Easy does it there, buddy. I'm not here to give you a bed bath. I just want to wash your feet and teach you that we're here to serve each other. And I just think that that's so fantastic that our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who has ultimate power, the Bible says that all things were created through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And yet, that same Lord and Savior used his strength to serve the most vulnerable among us, and he set an example for us in doing so. And so, yeah, let's do that. Let's build our strength so that we can serve the weak. So thanks for joining me on the 90 Days with Nurse Dan podcast. I hope that this practice has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. If not, I hope you do find a practice that works for you. But if it's been beneficial and it gives you a structure that allows you to create space for God to work in your body, mind, and spirit, then keep going. Don't stop at 90 days. Go 180, go 270, go 360. Just keep going. And maybe I'll see you at the gym sometime. God bless.